I am all about self-care these days, and guess what? Body care is also self-care. Taking care of your body is a moment to practice mindfulness, self-love, and compassion, all things that I am fully behind right now. That's why I'm so glad to share a promo from one of our new sponsors, Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo that provides instant firming hydration and delivers a full body glow. It makes me feel so confident and refreshed to walk out the door with unbelievably glowing skin. And there's nothing more I love than getting premium skincare products at an incredible value. So, show your skin some love with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide and use the code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating. We've said this many times already. We're not just about dating stories. We don't just scratch the surface. We go deep and we talk about the whys, why people do the things they do. Why is that?
There's so many things that people do when it comes to dating.
There's so many whys I have for myself. Like, why am I wearing a hat for the second week in a row? Because my hair is so unruly at this point. I've just given up. This is sporting my look.
It is so hot out still. I feel like in Northern California, we're just not used to this, which, I mean, I'm sure everyone that either lives here or hasn't has probably seen in the news that we're amidst now wildfire. So add another thing to 2020 here. So,
as I drink my boba, because we're recording this on a Friday, and if you've listened to other episodes, it's Boba Friday. It's very, very important for me. So I'm religiously drinking my boba. But the fires are getting so bad, and my boyfriend and I, we are trying to celebrate our 2-year anniversary next week. So we booked a week in San Luis Obispo. Slow. Never been there. Heard it's beautiful. And now they're being impacted by the Santa Cruz fires. And the AQI is so bad over there. It's over 200. So it's actually worse in San Francisco. So we're trying to figure out if we should go or not and if we can get a refund from Airbnb. You just cannot fucking plan anything anymore.
No. I mean, that's why we're recording on a Friday, because originally UA wasn't going to be here and I didn't want to interrupt her romantic getaway. So we were like, let's do it earlier. Then as we're getting on this call, you're like, yep, we probably could have done Sunday because we're trying to see what's going on here. But originally I was supposed to go to Sonoma this week or for the next 2 weeks. And I actually decided not to go just because I felt uncomfortable with like the group size and all of that, but the whole group might not be going anymore there either.
Really?
Yeah, the host basically said that it, you know, like the liability of having them up there when it's a fire also it's just super smoky. So it's the whole point was to be like outside at a pool in nice weather. It's kind of like defeats the whole purpose. So I think they're trying to figure it out. I mean, I wasn't going to go anyway, so it kind of doesn't matter to me, but it sucks. Yeah, this whole trip has been like one of those like ups and downs that just it's really hard to plan. I think this trip has been planned since July, and I was going, I was not going, I was going and not going, and like who knows if anyone's going now.
My friend was supposed to be in Guerneville this whole week. He planned it with his wife. They bought a bunch of rum and coke. Like, this is their plan, you know, to drink rum and coke outside in Guerneville for a week. And they got there, I think Tuesday at 3 p.m., checked into their Airbnb, and they were evacuated by 8 p.m.
Oh my God. But all these plans aside, like in this grand scheme of things, like it really almost doesn't matter. I think my heart really goes out for the people that were affected by these fires. Like I can't even imagine right now in the pandemic losing my place that I live also. So yeah, just want to put it in big picture too. But if you do end up staying here for your anniversary, I just did this from a team building activity. It was an Airbnb experience that was virtual.
What did you guys do?
It was actually super cool. It was a cooking class, but it was done with someone in Portugal. So she taught the class from Portugal. So it was a Portuguese cooking class, but it was super, such a great idea. And it was really fun and interactive. It's also one of those things, I think, for all the daters that are listening right now, it's a great date idea because I think you really get to see someone's personality when it comes to cooking. It was so funny just hearing the different personalities come through. Like some people are like, am I doing this right? I have a billion questions. I've never cooked before in my life. And then there's other people like me that I'm just like, nah, I'll see what happens. We'll see how it turns out. It's just like you totally see people's personalities come through. So I think that could be an alternative. It can make you, you could go anywhere. It's kind of like the Hinge dating experiment we did. You could travel anywhere through Airbnb experiences.
Logistically, how does that work? You have to purchase all the ingredients ahead of time.
Yeah. So you basically got a Zoom link. So what was really cool, though, is she set up a camera over her like pot that she was like sautéing in.
Oh, like a close up.
Yeah. So it was
the food.
A, yeah, exactly. So it was like her on one and then another camera that you could like see how she was prepping it more. So I thought that was really good. But yeah, you had to buy the ingredients. Like she picked something that didn't require a ton of ingredients, but I did get an Instacart order this morning. So I got all my ingredients sent to me. So
that's so fun. Yeah. You know, we're living in the virtual world now and all these small businesses have to figure out a way to make it work. So that's really great. It really relates to our episode today because it's all about this couple that met over TikTok of all apps. Like, what the hell? Except on 90 Day Fiancé. I believe one of the couples also met on TikTok. What world are we living in? But they have this lovely love story. And it was originally posted in our Facebook group, right, Julie?
Yep, yep. Someone posted in our Facebook group. And, you know, with TikTok, you only get a minute. So we didn't get the full story. So they were like, you need to have these people on your podcast and to hear from them. So I can't wait to air this.
And we also have the results from last week's Would You Rather question, which was in a relationship, would you rather be the that's not it. I'm getting
that
them
was
all
two
mixed
weeks
up.
Ago.
That was 2 weeks ago. The question was, would you rather date someone who has a history of dating people who are very different and diverse, or who have a history of dating people who are very similar to you? So we'll get into that discussion. But before we get into this heated discussion, I know Julie has a lot to say about this. This episode is brought to you by Best Fiends. So what is Best Fiends? You've all heard me talk about it by now, but seriously, I can't get enough of it. This awesome mobile puzzle game is so much fun and so much more than your average mobile puzzle game. It's 5-star rated with over 100 million downloads, thousands of fun levels, and tons of super cute characters to collect. Can you guess which level I'm on, Julie? I was on 208 last time.
I would say 300.
Okay, I'm 315. So I surpassed your expectations. I'm working my way up. They've created a whole world right on your phone. It's bright and colorful with great graphics. And there's a story all about these cute bug characters. I can't get enough of them. Best Fiends is seriously the perfect way to take a break, you know, between everything that's happening right now. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Say it together, Best Fiends. I love it. I love that line. Friends without the R.
Before we go into the would you rather, I wanted to talk quickly. I know we won't like go a ton into politics on this podcast, but it was the DNC. So really big week. And I don't know, personally, I just feel like I have so many emotions about this election, but I feel so inspired by Kamala Harris. And it's just, and like Joe Biden too. I was kind of on the edge on him before. I mean, I was still pro him over Trump for sure. But like, I feel like after this DNC, I don't know, I'm very excited about this. I feel like this is like a moment in history that is going to be very monumental. And also, just like side note, Trump's response to the fires is absurd. That be raking the leaves more. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry.
What planet is he on? Because we're not living on the same planet.
No, we're not. But this is such a monumental election because the country is so divided. And I wanted to get your take on this because this has come up in our Facebook group before too. Is putting like no Trump supporters or something like blatant in your profile, is this a yay or a nay? There were definitely people that said like, this is a must have. This is something I put on. Like if someone is a Trump supporter and I'm not a Trump supporter, like I don't want anything to do with them. And then we had someone argue that, you know, this person was actually from Canada, so maybe they're not in the pulse as much as Americans, but they were basically saying like a dating coach would tell you to avoid topics like politics and religion, and you should get to know the person because you could be missing out on someone really great. And I definitely see both sides of that. Like I see on one side, it's like a filter for similar values and beliefs. And I think, I feel like politics used to be more about like taxes and financial side, but now it is like social issues. So I think there is a lot there that really does tell you about who you're dating. But I do also see the other side. I guess it really just depends like how important this is to you. And I know like one of our members of the Facebook group who's a Black woman mentioned like, I don't have like the liberty to, I need to be with someone that understands myself. Mm. Like I can't just see how it goes and take that time. Like I need to know right away if someone is going to support racism or not. And I totally get that. So I wanted your take. I feel like saying no anything is kind of setting yourself up to be just, there's a negative feeling about that, right? Like regardless if it's politics or anything else. But I also see the side of this is so core to who I am. So yeah, I'm very mixed on it. So I wanted to get your take on it.
It still reminds me of when we went to South by Southwest last year and we went to all those talks about diversity and inclusion. I almost said conclusion. No, diversity and inclusion. And what we really learned was in order to diversify your perspective is that you have to have diverse perspectives in your life. And maybe it doesn't have to be a partner or someone you're dating, but I feel like we just can't be each other's echo chamber all the time. I don't want to date someone who is on board with everything I say because I really want to know different perspectives. However, I agree with you. When you have a strong feeling, if you're like pro-Trump or anti-Trump, those are just very strong feelings. And that would already be a red flag to me is that this person is pretty set in how they feel and maybe they're not open to discussion. So that's the only thing I would think of. It's just like, why be so regimented in how you feel?
I don't know if I fully agree because I'm definitely pretty anti-Trump. But I do think anytime you put no something, whatever that is, it's setting this negative tone. And I would rather, because you could also be eliminating someone that isn't a Trump supporter, but feels like there's a negative tone that's happening from your profile.
Well, I was also going to say, yeah, that could happen. Or you're also eliminating people who may vote Trump, but aren't Trump supporters. There is a difference there. And I've heard from multiple people their kind of like political stance on why they would vote for Trump. And it's not for the person, not for him, but they have the reasons. I mean, whatever, I'm not going to get into it. But I think just having that really strong feeling of like anti-Trump or anti-this, it just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, it's really hard because it's not even something I've ever thought about with dating because everyone in San Francisco is liberal, basically. Like you might encounter someone, but I feel like it's not even your go-to thing that you're filtering for. It would be something that like comes out later if that's the case. Yeah. And honestly, I just haven't given it that much thought. And I think like I am someone that definitely identifies as more like liberal or libertarian. So I think it would be if they were super conservative, it might be a turnoff, but I also maybe would like to see like on a case by case, depending on who the person was and what their beliefs were. I think it is hard to make the blanket statement, but I also do recognize that I'm a white woman also, and that other people might have differing opinions of where they live and their race and all of that. So I would love to hear what our listeners think, because I don't think there's a clear cut one on this. I think you can definitely argue it either way.
This is a tricky one, but I would also suggest, just a suggestion, instead of saying anti-Trump supporters, how about just list out all the things that you're anti, anti-racism, anti-discrimination, anti-systemic racism. Like, I would rather see the values that you align with and what are non-negotiables versus like a person.
Right. Or not even anti, like, can you say like, I'm pro open-minded, like something. I think like it's that we are anti, but I think in the dating app context, anytime you can spin it to be positive, it'll be better.
So I think that's a very good point.
So you have
point.
To remember someone doesn't know you at all. They're just seeing words on a profile. So
yeah.
Anyways, I want to bring it up because it's very relevant with the timing of the election. And I think this stuff is only going to heat up in the next couple months. Like, it's going to definitely, it'll be interesting to see if it becomes more and more prominent on dating apps. So I'd love for listeners to let us know, especially in other areas of the country, because realistically, I'm probably not going to see it on dating apps just because everyone here is so Democrat.
Yeah, let's just encourage, I think we just encourage more conversations, especially from people with different perspectives. And I wouldn't even say opposing perspectives, just different. Just hear them out. Just have an open mind about it, because these discussions are what's going to propel us to move forward. So that's, I mean, that's my my summary of how I feel. Should we go to the would you rather?
Let's do it.
Refresh of the question was, would you rather be with someone with a history of dating people who are very different and diverse or who are very similar to you? So there are definitely different interpretations of what this question is. And we talked about this a little bit. It's so contextual to what you've experienced that has been a conflict or adversity. So for some people, they put it in a race context. Mm-hmm. And some people, they put it in like a professional context. So we had a lot of really good discussions on Facebook.
I'm glad we added it to our Facebook group, because before it was just on the Instagram poll. So definitely still join and follow us at Dateable Podcast on Instagram and do the poll. But you can also do it on Facebook in our group. UA is going to be posting it every week at the same time abouts as the Instagram poll. But I think what's great about Facebook is you get that discussion that comes with it. Mm-hmm. Like with the poll, like some people will message us, but it's not like a multiple way discussion. So I don't want to, I'll let you reveal the answer, but I feel like it was a pretty majority on this one. Like
what's your answer?
My answer? Oh, this is so tough, because I actually went back and forth on it, and I actually ended up going with the similar. And mm-hmm. I think the reason why was that it didn't necessarily have to do with looks, like race and all of that. But at the same time, like my ex, like he would always be like, you're like exactly my type. And there was something like really nice about that, that I never questioned if he was attracted to me. I never questioned if there was someone else out there that he'd be more attracted to. It just it never even crossed my mind, because he was so vocal about just like how beautiful I was and how much his type I was. The way I interpret it also is them knowing what they're looking for. Like, I think if it's too diverse, it could mean that someone's unfocused. And again, it really depends on how you interpret this. Is it looks, or is it just their whole package? Mm-hmm. And I think when I looked at it, like the whole package, it's, you know, they know what qualities they want. Like for me, I know what I'm looking for. It's now I just need to find it, but I know what I'm looking for. Like, I've dated enough people, had enough relationships that I know what works for me and what doesn't work for me. So I think that's the benefit of, I don't know, it's a tough one, because like someone could argue like maybe you don't know if you haven't experienced this person, and that's very valid. But I think when you're too all over the place, it can be hard to know what you ever want. Like I think of like your friend that you mentioned once in New York that was going on like all these dates that literally by the end like had no idea what she was looking for anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to keep an open mind and not have like a singular focus type, but also if you're not, you know, you don't, if you have no direction, you're basically directionless.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What would and you pick?
These are the conversations I think is what I love about the Would You Rathers, because one, it's your knee-jerk reaction to how you interpret the question already says a lot about you. For me, when I first saw this question, I went immediately to race because I've definitely dated outside my race and I've dated within my race. I went into the context of interracial dating and I hate being with someone who's not Asian but has only dated Asian girls.
Right.
So that's when I picked different, diverse, because I'd rather them not have yellow fever. That's how I think about it. But if it was in the context of Asian and Asian dating, then obviously race is sort of eliminated. It's not even a question. Then I would want them to date similar to me, you know, someone like me, fun and, you know, kind of wacky like that. That shows me that they also are attracted to my kind of personality.
Right.
But Julie, I thought this was really interesting when I looked at the people who voted and all. I will reveal the results. Don't worry. When I looked at the results, and this is just such a small sample, but it's on Instagram and also on Facebook, the majority of the people who picked similar to me were a minority.
Interesting. I would have guessed the other.
And I asked a few, and this is very fascinating. So I asked a few people who are Black. I asked a few people who are Middle Eastern. I asked a few people who are Asian, and especially Black women. And some of the Middle Eastern women have said to me, it's because I want to make sure that we don't encounter any of the challenges with interracial dating. So I'd rather that someone else has paved the way with like maybe bringing me to the family.
Yeah. You don't want to be the first.
You don't want to be the first.
You don't want to be the one educating everything.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I found that super interesting. But it's really just how you interpret the question. But I will reveal the results. And Julie, you're right. You're not in the majority. The results are 62% who are very different than me and 38% similar to me.
Oh, last time I looked at it, it was even skewed more. So it did even out a little. That's so fascinating because I actually would have guessed the opposite, that it was like just from our interpretations, I would have thought maybe if you were in a more of a minority, you would have guessed or done the different because you don't want to be like one of many, like you've mentioned.
But the other argument is when you're involved in interracial dating, you also don't want to be the first either.
Right.
Because then there's that sampling, the buffet effect, and you're like, I'm not here for you to sample. We had this conversation on our episode with Yalitza.
Yep.
Right. And she was like, I don't want you to sample me. So it really goes, this question is so contextual to the last time you experienced adversity or conflict or something that was very, very memorable. So I love it. I love it. So we're going to be posting another Would You Rather this week. You can look that up on our Instagram or on Facebook.
Awesome. So should we get into this week's episode? Because it's a good one.
Yes.
Actually, quickly before we do that, I know I just said that we'll do it, but I think just one last shout out for ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. It helps us so, so much and really appreciate everyone that's done that. So just wanted to do a really quick plug. And now we can get into our episode.
Well, no, not yet, because we want to reward people who have been loyal listeners and who have been giving us ratings in Apple Podcasts, because we have a special deal for you. Obviously, right now, it's a pretty hard time, and some of us are experiencing unprecedented feelings. So this episode is brought to you by our sponsor, BetterHelp, one of our longest running sponsors. For me, Julie, you know, I have anxiety issues. Sometimes I just can't even sleep. So it's really good to check in and just take hold of your mental health. So BetterHelp has ensured that I'm not alone in this. They offer online counseling with professional, credible, and compassionate therapists in a safe and private environment. Their counselors specialize in depression, relationships, trauma, and many other areas. And with 3,000 U.S. licensed professionals across all 50 states, they make it easier than ever to find help. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all the states. Now for Dateable listeners only, you get 10% off your first month with the code Dateable. Get started today by going to betterhelp.com/dateable. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp.com/dateable and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off your first month. Now we can get to the episode.
Yay. No, this is such an exciting episode because I think it is the reason why people react so positively is because it's, you know, it actually kind of reminds me of the CNN article that we contributed to that was Love in the Time of Corona. And I think right now everyone needs to hear that good story, you know, like that fairy tale type of story, like the positive influence, because I feel like it's really easy to get down on all the ways that COVID-19 is not helping our dating lives, right? It's harder to meet people. It's, you know, you have to go on these weird, awkward, socially distanced dates. Like, there's so many negatives. But if we really reframe how we think about it, we can also find the positive. So I think hearing the story that we are about to share with you all, we're not going to give too much away about their story, but basically they just met on TikTok and now they're happily in a relationship. So I think just hearing stories like this, I know for me, it inspires me that really, like, you can get creative of where you meet people this day and age.
And you never know who you'll meet and where you meet them.
I mean, I think in general, people are going to get a lot more creative of where they meet people, and apps that weren't necessarily traditionally dating apps, you know, like a TikTok, like who would have ever thought the dancing app for Gen Z would be a place where millennials could meet. So I think stuff like that is going to start to come. And like even like our Facebook group, it's not like necessarily a single scene by any means. It's for everyone, just platonic friendships to form. But if something comes out of that, and we've already seen something come out of that, like that's fantastic. And I think people are going to find these other avenues. And it's going to, we've been talking about it for so long, the dating apps are going to start to mimic real life more, even if they're digital. And I think that is really what's going to start to happen.
Something we saw a few years ago that I'm surprised no dating app has implemented is video profiles. Yeah. And I do think there's going to be a marriage of dating apps and a TikTok kind of
for
functionality,
sure.
You know, for people to create content and to show off their personality.
That'd be fun.
The pictures just don't do it. Yeah. See, but a few years ago when we saw this, we were like, no, nobody would ever use this. Yeah. But now we're like, yeah.
That app was way ahead of their time, basically.
Way ahead of, yeah, they need to resurface. All right, let's get to this episode with Josiah and Natalie. In this time of social distancing, daters are getting really creative with how they meet others. And we've heard of virtual dating. The apps are seeing a lot of activity. And also just if you're with someone in the same city, you do like the social distance dates, like hikes and picnics. But how people are meeting is getting really fascinating. And our guests on today's episode met each other on TikTok. I never thought, I feel like so cool just even saying TikTok, because I was literally on TikTok for a hot minute, and now I know what TikTok is, but obviously it's like the cool thing to do for everybody these days, even though I think it takes a really long time to make TikTok videos, right, Julie?
It's dedication to the TikTok. You guys have some good videos.
It's kind of confusing.
I read a statistic that the average TikToker spends 3 to 4 hours per video.
Oh my God.
Per video.
No. Is that much
you spend on it? That is not.
Which are like 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. That's insane.
Yeah,
that
some is. Of my most like popular ones, not even 10 minutes. I think my longest one was like an hour and a half.
Which is still a really long time.
Yeah.
Well, you got to hack your way around TikTok, but you guys hacked your way around love when it comes to meeting each other. So we've got Josiah and Natalie here. Josiah is 30 years old. He lives in Sarasota, Florida, and has been there his whole life. And Natalie is 27 years old, originally from Miami, was living in LA for the last 4 years, and now she's back in Miami. And actually, no, right now she's in Sarasota as well. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's like going back and forth.
You two were mere strangers, and now you're like quarantining together and in a monogamous relationship. So let's just start, like, let's back up for a sec. Before you met each other on TikTok, let's go with Natalie first. What was your dating life like?
I was dating, I mean, I've had like one serious relationship, and that ended last year. And I did the whole online dating as well. Like, I was on like 2 apps, but I didn't go on them as much. It was just more of like, oh, if I find someone, you know, maybe, you know, things will work out, whatever. But I didn't really click with anyone on the apps, which I'm glad I did. I didn't.
Were you using them during quarantine? Like, were you using the apps
yes.
then? Okay.
I started using them more, I feel like, on quarantine, because I was I feel like everyone was just kind of like bored, and then just like, oh, might as well, you know. I did talk to a few people, but nothing came out of it. I had probably like one phone call date and that was it. So it was nothing really came from the dating apps. I don't know if you call TikTok a dating app. It could be now.
Josiah, what was your dating life like before meeting Natalie?
Pretty similar. I was on the dating apps and I went on dates here and there. I mean, before the quarantine stuff happened, nothing ever like serious came from it. Again, when all this stuff happened, it was just like kind of like waste your time a little bit, but not really, like, I don't know. Just it was something to do to like talk to these other people and just figure how they were dealing with it and all that stuff, because that's what everybody talked about. They're like, oh,
yeah, how's it
was. That was like the line. How's your quarantine going?
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then I actually got like annoyed with that, so I deleted it even before I met her, just because I was like kind of getting bored of. So Sarasota, I think there was an article that came out that's like for single people, it's like one of the worst places to be as a single person, a young single person. So there's like not a whole lot of options, I felt like. Mm. So I would have to like put my reach out farther away, like St. Pete, Tampa. A lot of those people are not like interested in driving 45 minutes or whatever. So it was just like, it was more difficult than I feel like bigger cities would be.
Where is Sarasota? I have no idea where that is.
So we're like,
I didn't know either.
So we're like an hour south of Tampa.
South of Tampa.
Yeah, we're known for Siesta Key Beach. There was an MTV show. We're known for our beaches.
It is really nice.
And what is the dating life like in, or I guess the dating scene like in Sarasota?
Other than
you saying it's bad.
Yeah. Especially like being raised here, it's not a small town, but it's smaller. And so I just felt like I knew most of the people. I will say there's some people moving here just because of the beaches, and we've been growing a lot the last few years. But overall, like for me, I don't know. I hadn't been in like a relationship for, it'd been a little bit, just because, I mean, I've been on dates, but like nothing serious in like 2 years. So yeah.
So what got you guys on TikTok? Like, what got you there to begin with?
Boredom. Boredom and like wanting an outlet to like be creative. Just because like, yeah, there was nothing going on. I was supposed to start a job, like fell through and wasn't going to happen. So I did it just out of pure boredom and having something to like do with my time. So
why is that TikTok was, before I downloaded it, I thought it was like a dancing app. Like,
yeah,
you got to be a dancer to join it. And I'm like, I'm not a very good dancer. So I did not even think of downloading it. And then, and I would have like my sister's friends be like, oh, you got to download it, Natalie, download it. And then when I saw that like people were doing like really funny videos, I'm like, okay, this is pretty entertaining. Like I want to download it. So I did. And I realized it's not all dancing. And I just started doing like stupid little funny videos, whatever. And then that's when I saw his video.
Yeah. Also, one of the first videos I did, like made, went semi-viral, was like a million views or something.
Wait, was that the French fry one?
No.
Oh, that was a like, different one.
One of them. So,
I had posted one of a video that I made of me shooting my mom with a Nerf gun. I thought that was funny.
Wait, did you say shooting your mom with a Nerf gun?
Yeah. I was so like, she hated me. Wow.
Ways to go viral on TikTok. Hurt your relatives and get their reactions.
Yeah. Sabotage your mother. But like she
was nice about it too.
Yeah. She's a saint. There's a special place in heaven for her.
I feel like TikTok is the most random thing. I mean, I definitely have gone through so many stages on it, but it's interesting because it's like you guys said, over quarantine, it went from Gen Z to like millennials. There's like so many people in our age bracket using it now.
Yeah. And all my guy friends were like making fun of me so much. They're like, dude, because I had downloaded it just for like, I didn't even post anything. I first downloaded it just to like be entertained. So for like the first like month or two, I was just like looking at it. And then I was like, I can do some of this stuff. And so, yeah, and that's when I like started posting. And then I had a couple like go viral or whatever. And then my friends were still making fun of me. They were like, dude, you're what guys do. It's like,
you're funny.
Yeah, who's yeah, making funny you got now?
Yeah,
you got like, a girlfriend out of this. Yeah.
It only took a Nerf gun. Only took a Nerf gun.
And Natalie, what video did you see of Josiah's that really caught your eye?
Well, you know, on the For You page, it's just like random videos will come up, I guess, based on things that they think you might like or whatever. I guess they were right.
you love French fries. Who doesn't love French fries?
Exactly.
Wait, can you describe the French fry video for people that haven't seen it? Because it is quite funny. Okay. Wait, was that the one that caught your attention before we go into that?
Yes, it was. That's what the video that came up on my For You page that I was just scrolling through one day and I saw the video where he's like eating a fry in the car and then it drops in the middle of the sea and then it's like, you'll never see me again. I'm not a good singer, but
I think also for anyone that's not on TikTok, that's like one of the trend songs of like when people are leaving quarantine. It's like kids at their parents' house, and it's like, I'll never see me again. So I think it's hilarious that you had it as the French fry.
No, it was hilarious, and I'm like, that is so I can so relate to that.
Yeah, and that one was one of the ones that took me like 8 minutes to do. It was like so quick, and I didn't think it was going to be that big, but it went.
It was funny. So I went, that's what made me go to his page. And I was like,
Added touch is that you, for anyone that hasn't seen this, it's like you dropping the French fry in a car. It's like when you lose food in your car, but then you put like eyes and a mouth
like
on it
or something.
Yeah.
On the fry.
It was like, it was a Snapchat filter. It was just like the big eyes and the mouth. And it's just like the fry singing, like you'll never see me again.
I cannot wait for my mom to listen to this episode, and it would just, she would be so lost. She would be like, French fries, Nerf, like, what is happening?
I love this. This is what it takes to find love in 2020, French fries and Nerf guns.
Yeah, forget a matchmaker, French fries. So you see this video and you get on his profile or get on his page, and what are your thoughts?
I thought he was really handsome. And I thought he was funny. He posted like a lot of funny videos and seemed like just like a cool, easygoing guy. I feel like I already knew you. I'm just kidding. But I went to his Instagram and decided to push that follow button. And
Oh, you took it to another social site. Oh, got it. You went from the TikTok to the IG, to the DM.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So
I
at this point, Natalie, though, are you like thinking of Josiah as like a romantic prospect, or are you just like, this is a funny hot guy to follow?
Well, I feel so good about myself.
Well, following him, I didn't know if something would come out of it. I was like, because he had like a little following. He had 60,000 followers.
A little.
I mean, like
a little. Nothing.
Well, on TikTok.
On TikTok. Yeah. So I was just like, I don't know, like maybe, you know, he probably won't even see that I followed him or whatever, but you know, he seems like a cool guy to follow anyway. Florida people. Yeah, because right away this guy followed back immediately and started kind of stalking my page.
Deep liking your stuff?
Deep liking. Oh my goodness.
Okay, she exaggerates the deep like. I did, because so for me, I had some DMs, like more people were like coming to my Instagram just because I had a bunch of followers on TikTok. So I had people have been like,
I had so many DMs.
No, I didn't. But people have been like following me. So like when I check my Instagram, sometimes I wouldn't even see how many people because I grew by like 1,000 on my Instagram. And so I didn't even see all the people that were adding me. But this time that I happened to see it, I saw her little picture on Instagram. And I was like, oh, she's really cute. And then I went to her page. And then I saw like some of the videos that she posted that I thought were like really funny. And some of them are like really like outrageous. And so I was like, oh, she's got like a sense of humor. She can laugh at herself. So I thought that was really cool. So then I followed her back. And that's when I did my semi-deep.
What's a semi-deep like? Was it like 5 years ago or did you go like 10 years ago?
No, it was like,
I feel like there could have been a 5 years ago.
No, it was probably like 2, I would say 3 years at the max.
For anyone that doesn't know what deep liking is, it's like when you go back and you like photos or videos from yes. years ago. And I don't know about you, Natalie, and maybe you woke up to this. I know this has happened to me and I know this has happened to you. And you wake up and there's like 100 likes from the same person.
Like, yes, it happens. Like, I mean,
I think I like 3 pictures.
Okay, 3 is acceptable. I was going to ask you how many.
It was a little more than that.
I had an accidental deep like from my ex-boyfriend's wife of a picture I posted from 5 years ago. It was accidental. She deep liked a photo of mine from 5 years ago.
Those are the worst because you know that someone's just stalking you.
I've totally
done that. On the other end, I've been the one to do it.
Yes, I've done it too, and I've accidentally liked a picture, and I'm like, that's it.
I actually did a test with people once to see like if you like it and then immediately not like it on Instagram, do you get an alert?
So it depends
on your settings, is what we figured out. Yes. Like if you have like notifications, then you get it. But if you don't, you don't get it. And I think it was like there was a certain period, if you did it fast enough, you wouldn't get it. But anyways, we always say on this podcast, you can do the exact same thing. And if someone thinks you're cute, it's adorable. And then if they don't, it's creepy. So apparently in this case, it was creepy at all.
I thought it was cute. I was like, okay, so he's interested. And I was like, okay, I'll like 2 pictures, you know.
And so what is this progression? If you were to map this out in an infographic, you went from TikTok
flowchart
to just eyeballing each other. And then you went to Instagram, you follow. So that's the first sign that you like each other. And then you do the deep liking. So that's like, okay, this is getting serious.
Game on.
Game on. What is the next step? Is it commenting or is it DMing?
Let's hold that thought for a sec. We'll get right back to it.
Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of, like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
It was DMing. I posted like a little story on my Instagram, and then she did like the, you know, those ones that like auto-populate, that's like, it was like a crying laughing emoji. So she commented that, and I was like, okay.
Since you deep liked.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, so that was like a lazy comment, right?
It wasn't like you don't have to type in anything. It's like there for you. Just click a button and A bunch of crying laughing emojis come up.
Do you remember like the winks from Match.com days? It's like literally the modern day wink.
They definitely do not remember them.
Fine, we do because we're elder millennials, but keep going.
Yeah, so
Natalie's like, what is Match.com? Explain this to me.
I can imagine what it is.
I mean, before we even got on this call, they were talking about how they hadn't gone on Zoom that much because they were doing house party. I mean, this is like how far ahead they are. Okay, so they skipped the whole Zoom generation. Okay, so you did the cry emoji.
Yeah, and then maybe a couple days later, she was like reading a book and I commented. It was so lame, but I was like, oh, it looks like a good book. I could read some of it. So I read a little bit. That's a good book that you're reading. And then she commented, she was really nice about it.
Then after that, it was just back and forth.
Yeah.
But at first, I didn't think that he was that interested because, like, he took, I don't know, I feel like you took, like, 2 days to respond. Like, yeah. A whole day. I mean, it seemed like it's so bad. But it just, like, he took, like, a while to respond to, like, my last text. And I was just like, I don't know. He's probably, and a guy that I was kind of talking to on one of the apps had done that before, like a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh, another one of these, you know? So I,
From my side, well, one thing was like, she was living in California. So I was like, okay, like what can come of this or whatever? So I was like, do I want to even like start this? So that was like a thought. Another thought was like, it was the day before my birthday. So like, I was like kind of busy and like, I was getting, I don't know. I was doing stuff. It wasn't like I was just too busy not doing it. Yeah. So that was another thing. Right after that happened, I was like, okay, I'm going to just go for it. And that's when we started talking a lot. So we messaged on Instagram for a few days, get to know you stuff.
And I was like, when is he going to ask me on a FaceTime date?
That would be the next step.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, I'm kind of nervous, but.
So before we go into that, Josiah, what made you like decide like, okay, I feel like maybe this isn't worth pursuing because she's in California deciding I'm going to go all in. Like, what was kind of your thought process?
Based on like just the conversation that we had, like
conversation was so fun.
Yeah, they were like really fun, engaging. Like I could tell she was interested because sometimes when you're like talking to somebody, you can kind of tell that like, I don't know, they're talking to a bunch of other people or like they just don't care as much. And like I could tell that she was like into like finding out who I was and like about me. So I was like, okay, she's like interested. So that was probably one of the things I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give this a shot. Because it wasn't like we had fun conversation. It was easy to talk to her. Like it wasn't at any time where we weren't talking about like something, even if it was like ridiculous.
Because sometimes just, like, I'm texting, you know, it's like,
yeah,
hey, what's up? You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I hate those. Like, yeah,
I hate those. You're just like, ew, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, like, funny story. We're still in the DMing and on Instagram. I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna leave her my number so she can like text me if she wants to.
Yeah.
So I put my number down, and it was like my neighbor number. It was actually one digit off.
And so you the wrong number.
That's my biggest fear is ever doing that.
Well. So we had kind of been going back and forth like pretty quick, and I sent that, and then I wasn't getting a message on my text, so I was like, okay, maybe he's busy or something. And then I went, and you can like see if they've read it or not, and it said seen. So I was like, here we go.
I was helping my sister. My sister has 5 kids, okay, so I was helping her out.
Yeah.
And like, I think I was probably doing dishes, and I just like looked at it with my elbow, and then I was like, okay, I'll get back.
Yeah. And so then I put my real number, and I was like, oh, sorry about that. So I put my real number down, and then a little bit goes by, and I don't get a text. Saw it again, and I was like, okay, this is over.
And he's like, I mean,
and then I messaged again a little bit later, and I was like, oh, if you like don't want to text, like we can just keep talking about here. That's fine.
Wait, so Natalie, did you ever reach out on the fake number, or you just were busy and didn't reach out?
No, okay. I made a joke that I did, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm already talking to the other guy.
Yeah, that was her first.
Thanks for the setup. Phil's really nice.
That was her first text to me. It was like,
I hope
it's not another random guy, because that last guy was like,
yeah.
So it was cute, but yeah.
A rando from TikTok.
This is getting really serious. You've exchanged numbers. You're texting on real phones for now. Mm-hmm. Real numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, real numbers.
I love our definition of really serious. I just want to point that out.
I know, like, now we're texting back and forth.
How long did this go on for before you met up in person? Or I guess you do the videos.
Yeah, before the FaceTime. So we probably talked maybe a week on texting.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and like we would text like all day, like those like big paragraphs about like.
Yeah,
and again, it was super easy to like talk, and I was like really excited to talk to her. It was good that it was busy because I wasn't busy at all, but she was like busy helping her sister, and so. Like we would send a like really long paragraph, and like when she saw it, she would like respond, or had time, she would respond. So it wasn't like back and forth, like real quick. It was like we would probably do that once or twice a day.
Yeah, we texted all day, but it was
but it wasn't like
right after.
Yeah,
Natalie, like what made this something that you were like, okay, this is worth pursuing despite the distance? Like, did you ever have that hesitation?
I thought it was just different. I mean, I've talked to guys and then it's just like, you have those boring text conversations. It's like, hey, what's up? Or like, you know, how was your day? Which isn't bad to say, how was your day? But it's like, I don't know, just things. But this was different. We would talk about just, I don't know, just different things that we were both interested in. And I found that he was really funny. Like, his text actually made me laugh. And I was just like, oh, this guy is fun and he's easy to talk to. And I actually like look forward to talking to him in his text, you know. So when's a FaceTime date?
Yeah.
She's like dropping all these hints.
Yeah, she did, I think.
I think I did drop one little slow
mover. Yeah. Eventually asked her on a FaceTime date. Time difference. So like Florida to California is 3 hours. Right. So she was usually busy during the day. So it was like 10:30 my time. It was like 7:30 her time. I was like trying to think of something cute to do or like something that would kind of like break the ice a little bit. So I wore like a suit on my top half because like I had these like bouquet of flowers and I wore like a legit like
that's
suit.
Adorable.
It was so cute.
Yeah, and I was
that's
like
so adorable.
I was like trying to find something to like be funny. And then I was gonna and I like stood up and you could she see that I was like wearing shorts because in your FaceTime you only see like half of it.
It was so and I'm over here like. Oh, I don't want to dress up too much because I don't want to look like I'm trying to do hard.
And then you ended up being underdressed.
I ended up being underdressed. I was just like wearing like, you know, like a casual, like, you know, tank top, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's over here with flowers, a blazer. I'm like,
aww. Yeah. So how many dates did you guys do like this before you decided to fly across the country to meet?
Yeah. Well, it was a lot. So we had
every day.
Yeah, we had that FaceTime day, and then the next day we like watched them together, but like we started the same movie at the same time, and then we like were texting about the movie. So that was the second date we had, and the third date we had. So like back up. The first date I went till like 3 a.m. my time.
Oh wow!
So it was like 4 hours. It was like great. And then then the movie date, like I got so little sleep, but it was okay because it wasn't a lot going on for me. But like we would talk at least like 2 to 3 hours on FaceTime every day for maybe not every day, but out of the 30 days, we might've skipped like 2 days in a month.
Wow.
So it was like, we talked a lot on FaceTime and then during the day.
Texting.
And I wanted to like kind of learn about before meeting me. So we would have these like adventure like stories where we would just like send pictures of like vacations that we have with our family and just like all these stories about some of like our favorite times. And so I thought that was like really cool, just like to get to know like who she was before. We did that like texting kind of during the day, and then at FaceTime we would just kind of talk about everything.
Can I ask you my favorite question? Was there any virtual sex or sexy time thrown in, or was it totally PG?
Definitely PG. Yeah.
And so we always get this question when you do lots of virtual dates, it gets boring, or that it gets a little redundant sometimes. How are you two able to do so many FaceTime dates and not have it?
I don't know. I mean, some of the times we were like, we said we went on house party. Is that what it's called? Yeah. And so we would like play games on there. We just talked about
the question games, you know, like getting to know each other and like.
It also sounds like you guys just jived well. So if you like really enjoy talking to someone, it's not that boring.
Yeah. I looked forward to talking to her every day, because like it was late for me, so every day I had a little light that I would like flicker on, like was
and I'm about, like you was don't want to hear my story
was or? About to, I was about to pass out just because like, I was like usually in my rooms like talking after like 2 a.m. I was like, okay, I'm like my body's like shutting down, but yeah, I never thought it was like difficult to have a conversation or anything.
It was fun. Yeah,
yeah,
it was
and just easy. Thought about it.
I was gonna ask you, like, what made you decide it's time to take this to the next level?
I was like all in. I was like, this is awesome. I was like hinted a couple of times that I would like go out there, but like I also was like new about like California and the pandemic and everything, so I didn't want to like,
and everything was shut down where I was at.
Yeah, so I was like trying to get her to like come back here, or like I don't know, I didn't really care what I had to do, but I just wanted to like see her to see if it was like the same in real life. So she said she was gonna fly down to Miami.
Well, first the box.
I'm a big
I love it. He asked me one day, like, what are my favorite snacks? What's my favorite wine? What's my favorite? Yeah,
and our conversation, just like what we were talking about, like our favorite stuff.
And I'm thinking, oh, he's just gonna, you know, maybe if I go down to Sarasota or something, he'll plan like a little date or something with all my favorite things. And then I go to get mail with my sister. Aww. She's like, come get the mail with me. And she pulls out this box, and I didn't even think anything of it, but she's just like trying to make it so obvious, like, oh, a box for Natalie. The week before was my birthday, and I'm like, what, did my mom send me a box or something? Like, what, you know, what's happening, whatever. She was like, Natalie, look at the address. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it cannot be Josiah. I'm like, no way. Yeah. So I ran inside, I opened the box, and he had like all these cute little things that my favorite chips, my favorite wine, the sweatshirt he changed into when on our first day, a little note, and
chocolate.
That is so sweet. I told him I like it.
I was like, my goodness. And
60% dark chocolate. Because he's like, what's your favorite dark chocolate? And then since I couldn't make up my mind, he just sent me both of the dark chocolates. Like 60, 70%.
Yeah.
Wait, how did you get her address in the first place?
I mean, I had told my family about her, but I didn't know exactly, like, if she was...
You did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm one of seven kids. We're all, like, really close. Like, they know pretty much everything. Not everything, but most of them. And so I had... There's a few times where I was going to message her sister, because we were friends on Facebook, and you can, like, see who the family members are. Yeah.
I see. I've got, like,
all my stalking.
You got it down.
Of the unpaid private investigators. So there was a few times I was going to message her, and I was like, let me wait a little bit more till I was, like, more certain that she had talked to her sister about me. So when I waited for a little bit after that, I messaged her sister on Facebook, and I was like, hey, this might sound really weird, but I've been talking to your sister for the last few weeks, and I was like hoping to send her like a little package of some of her favorite things. Is there any way I could get your address to like send it to her?
And she was like, duh.
She was like, oh,
are you kidding me?
Would love that. But like, I don't know. It's like,
it's a bold move. It could go either way. Risky. They could be like, yeah. I'll leave my sister alone.
I was like trying to be aware of that.
That's bold. Because you could either get a box of chocolates or a box of fingers or like toes or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're feeling good, Natalie. So I'm still dying to know about like that turning point of meeting in real life. Like, how'd you guys come to decide this is time to do it?
Well, she was going to come, like, fly here. I'm always up for, like, adventure. I love road trips. Another thing was that she wouldn't have a car because her car was going to be in California. I mean, I wanted to do it anyway, but also logistics. I was like, we should just drive your car back. And so that's kind of that's how I pitched it. I was like, you need to
drive your car.
We need to get your car back here. Yeah. So I was like, what if I fly out? And then we just, like, road trip across America.
I told him, I was like, I wish that I was driving distance. I didn't even throw that out there for him to see if he wanted a road trip. I just really was like saying, I was going to fly, but I was like, oh, I wish I was close enough to drive. It would be so much, you know, so much better and nicer that it'd be close enough to do that.
Yeah.
But that's when he threw out the, you want a road trip?
Yeah.
That's another bold move.
So you going back, did that have to do with this situation, or were you just wanting to go back in general?
This definitely had a lot to do with it too. Because also, I'll just be honest, there was nothing going on.
Right.
Yeah. Everything was closed. Everything was closed. So I was just like, I mean, I'd rather be home. And also it's close to where he's at. So it's like, this would be a good opportunity to get to know each other and see each other in person. With the news and everything, I just figured things were not going to get any better, unfortunately, any better anytime soon. So I was like, okay, might as well, if I'm going to do this, do it now.
Yeah. Another thought that was going through my head was I had dated someone long distance before. I'd go there, she'd come here. It felt like a vacation kind of, where we were always doing like the fun, exciting things. And then the more we hung out, like it just didn't work. And so I was like, well, on a road trip, like you'll get to see like everything. It's not just like,
especially on travel,
the good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, and I didn't want to like waste my time. I didn't want to waste her time. So I was like, well, no more one way or the other. I was game the whole time. And I was, cause like, she was kind of unsure. Oh, she said she like wanted to think about the road trip.
I didn't mean it sound like that, but in my head I was like,
she just played it cool. I love it.
I was like, I don't know. I mean, that's like a drag. I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah. You like keep him on his toes a little.
Yeah.
And you also had to plan. So once you fly over to LA, you would have to spend the night before you take your road trip back, right? And did you guys discuss that? I mean, that's
at my sister's house.
So we stayed like a day and a half at her sister's house before we left. We had like a day date, which is really nice in LA, like Malibu. We had in and out on the beach, on Matador Beach, which was awesome. So we did that during the day.
That's all great, but where did you sleep?
We slept in separate beds.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah.
What was your reaction to, like, when you guys saw each other? Was it the same of what you've been seeing on FaceTime, or was there anything different?
No, I thought it was the same. Yeah. It was
nervous the whole time until I got landed and she was like 5 minutes away from the airport. That's when I was like,
oh, yeah. The moment of truth.
Just more nervous about, like, what am I first going to say to you? Because we've like talked about like the past and we've talked so like much during this time, I was like, I felt like I knew her for a really long time. So I wasn't as nervous about that, but I was just like, what is that like first reaction or whatever going to be? And so that was like, the only part I was nervous about. So when I landed, I went to the airport bathroom and I like put deodorant on, I brushed my teeth, I like did all that. I had bought a bouquet of flowers before I left and I brought that.
You're so romantic. I love
it. You brought it on the plane?
He brought it on the plane. Oh, and rewind. He called my parents before.
Oh, yeah.
He called my parents like the night before, right? That you left?
She gave me her mom's number as like a joke.
I don't remember why either.
Because her mom is like has like a very pretty woman.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so I joked like Mother's Day and I was like, oh, send me your mom's number so I could like say happy Mother's Day as like a joke. And so she actually like gave it to me as a joke, that number. And I didn't actually know if it was her number or not. I just thought she maybe put in like a random number. So I called it and I went to voicemail but I could hear it was like her mom's last name. So I was like, oh, it's actually her. And so I left a message saying, hey, I've been talking to your daughter.
Oh my God.
After the package, I knew that she had been talking to her parents about me.
I think one thing is very interesting about your story when I saw your TikTok videos is how much you involved your family. Like, to me, that is like something I'm not doing until like I am ready to get married to someone. Yeah. I know everyone views it different though. So I'm curious, like, is this something that you guys just do because of your relationships with your family that you've done with other people too? Or is it something about each other that you're like, they need to meet my parents, my sister, etc.?
I mean, I've always been close with my family. They're really cool and they're all, I mean, he's met them. They're awesome people and like, they're easy to talk to. And like, especially my mom, like I could just, you know, talk to her about anything. And so she's like a friend.
Yeah.
But, and for you, I guess.
Yeah, for me, like growing up, my parents always pushed like group dating and like don't date until like you're older or whatever. So whenever we did something, it wasn't with all the other girls that I dated, they met my family like pretty quick. Okay. And especially because we're a big family, it's probably like really intimidating. It's a like big part of like who I am in my life. So it was like,
it wasn't like, oh, you're meeting the parents and this is like marriage. Like whenever I'd bring friends over.
So both of you are kind of on the same wavelength about just this is something you do in general. And it's not, neither one of you were like freaked out about it. It was just par of the course.
Yes. So you spend a day and a half at the sister's house and obviously things go well there because you decide to go on this road trip together back. On this road trip, let's go over three things. What you loved, like one really great memory, and then maybe one not so great memory, and then a really surprising thing you found out about each other. So let's start with Josiah with your favorite memory from the trip.
I mean, we watched the sunrise at the Grand Canyon. Like, that was phenomenal. That's where we had our first kiss.
Ooh.
So yeah, that for me, that was really nice.
Oh, could I say the same thing?
Ditto. And maybe one not so great memory. It doesn't have to be a negative memory. Just you wish this didn't happen. Let's go with Natalie first.
in. Oh my gosh.
What? She just said one word and you already knew?
I can think of it now. Yeah.
Okay. So the Airbnb. Wait. This is the first night that we're staying, like, not with family. And so it was, like, a little outside the Grand Canyon. I didn't see the place or anything yet. And I still wasn't sure, like, is he a serial killer? But we go and, like, we suddenly, we're, like, on a road where there's, like, no lights. And then he turns on this dirt road that we went on for a while and there were no lights. It was like, was it a road? I'm not sure. And this is when I was like, is this where you kill me? Or like, was this like, you know, I was just so, I mean,
it's probably the reality of this situation catching up to you too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, wait, maybe I really don't know this guy.
Yeah.
One thing surprising you found out about each other.
I don't know if there was surprising because I felt like I already knew you.
What about, like, let's go over the day-to-day stuff. What about, like, budgeting or finding food, planning, bathroom behaviors?
Yeah.
You know, those are like the daily shit you have to go through.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about that stuff before. We didn't even really plan the trip.
But it was awesome because it was like so easy, and like all of the food we pretty much ate, we kind of like went to a grocery store and then we got like groceries. We had a bag and we pretty much like picnicked or like would just snack on the drive because we were driving like 10 hours a day. So it was like, it was such a cheap trip.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
We hardly spent any money. Like gas, she has like a Honda Civic, so the gas was like reasonable. I work at Ritz-Carlton here in Sarasota, so I got like hotel discounts. So we had like cheap.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we had cheap stays and like, we went out to eat like once or twice.
So you guys were kind of on the same page about just like your, like you realize your lifestyle's meshed.
Yeah. And that's one of the things we talked about before. We talked about like finances and we both didn't have any debt coming out of college and like, just, I know we, there's stuff we talked about.
You went there.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah. I told you, I don't mess around. I'm just like,
I love it. You guys are just like going all in. So I guess just with all this, and now you've met each other's family, you're kind of like settling into daily life now back in Florida. Is there anything that you would have done differently or would you have done it all the same?
I wouldn't have changed a thing. I was like, so glad I even said yes to that trip because it was, I mean, even if it went horrible, which I didn't think it was going to, but you always have that thought in the back of your mind, like, oh, what if this doesn't go the way that, you know, we expected it to? And it did. And I'm so glad that I did it. And yeah, it's just been like really fun and an adventure for sure.
Yeah.
And how many days into the trip, Josiah, did you ask Natalie to be your girlfriend? I remember seeing that in your video.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. So it was like the third day. In the video, and I didn't plan on doing it, but like we were at the Grand Canyon, we like had our first kiss, and then we were just like taking pictures on the self timer, and I like pretended that I was like gonna get down on one knee to propose as like a joke.
You didn't get down on one knee.
I got
a little intense.
I knew he was joking. I was like, he's not asking me to marry him now.
But that's, I got down on knee and I was like, maybe my girlfriend.
Oh, so cute.
So I feel like this whole thing has just been such an amazing love story. I mean, I think my biggest takeaways, I'll kick us off, but I think it's taking a chance and looking in the most unexpected places. I think especially during quarantine and COVID, like everyone has felt like opportunities have been taken away from them. And the only options are the dating apps. But we've seen it too outside of even TikTok, but like we've seen people, we have a pretty active Facebook group that we have like happy hours and other virtual activities. And people are making like legit friends. And we've even seen some couples come out of it. So I think it's all it's all about creativity and using this time to think outside the box, think outside of how you usually meet people. And I know like before COVID, we've heard of people complaining that it's hard to meet in real life and everything is digital, but they have trouble with the app. So maybe it is looking for these alternative digital situations. I mean, there's so many events going on right now. So I think that's my biggest takeaway is just to stay open to the possibilities and to really look at what's out there.
You're saying yes.
Say yes.
And like for me, because like I had done these things where it didn't work out and like that's okay. But like I'm all like go for it because eventually like it's going to work out and it's going to be awesome. But yeah, I've definitely had times where it didn't work out and it sucks for a little bit, but then you get back on it, you go for it again. And so I would say go risk it and go do what you got to do. But yeah.
Nothing to lose, right?
Yeah.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah.
It's a great memory you've created. Who knows? We can't predict what happens in the future, but this is such an awesome story that you're putting out there and it's memorialized on TikTok forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. TikTok is now so just like my diary pretty much. I'm just like what my life is like.
My biggest takeaway is I think we've just gotten a lot of people who are a little fatigued from all the virtual dating thus far, but you two did 30 days of FaceTiming and house party, and it never got old because I think when two people have chemistry and when two people are so open-minded going with the flow, it doesn't get boring. And I love that you two have found ways to keep it fun, like you showing up with a suit on a first date and doing the care package and also just you gotta have fun, yes, and then asking the right questions, sharing stories of previous adventures. I think there are always so many levels you can learn about someone from virtual dating, and if you're getting to a point where you're stuck with someone and you don't know how to take it to the next level, either you just have to like try and find those prompts to get there, or it's just not really working out. Like there's no need to hold on to that because it seems like for you two, you never really had to try that hard.
And I think we were both intentional about like getting to know each other. So I knew like what I wanted to ask her and like find out about her and vice versa, like be intentional about like what you're trying to figure out and the questions that you want to ask and stuff.
Absolutely.
What advice, so parting words of advice from both of you to anybody who's trying to date during this time? Well, there's a lot of safety concerns, health concerns, I'm sure families are concerned as well. So what would be some advice for you to give to them, all the daters during this time?
Well, be safe and take a chance. You never know what's going to happen.
Take a chance.
Yeah.
You never know what can come from, you know, like, I don't know, just even me following him on Instagram. Yeah. If I hadn't done that, would we be here?
Yeah.
You know?
True.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other takeaway, it's like this fail fast mentality. Like, I've been saying this a bunch, that people are just really kind of diving into relationships now, and we're not doing the date talk or, you know, that small talk that would happen.
Yeah.
And we're going to these deeper discussions. I love how you guys went through like your whole past and the photos and all of that. It's just such a good way to really get to see if you guys are compatible quickly. It's kind of like this fail fast mentality. We see this with startups too. It's, you know, we're going to go all in. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And if it does, amazing. Like, let's find out quicker. And you guys have said it so many times, like, there was nothing to lose. Like, I know there were some initial hesitations. Is it worth my time? But especially right now, all we have is time. So it's, I think in the past too, it's this, we're playing this whole thing of relationship chicken, which really was getting us nowhere. Like, people were kind of half in, half out. And let's just go in and either make it work or fail fast and move on. What's the worst that can happen is that it just doesn't go into anything.
And don't settle. I mean, if you're in a relationship and you're with someone that you're like, oh, I don't, you know, like, and you're just trying to pass time with them, move on, you know, move on. There's someone else out there. There's more people out there. I know times are tough right now, but.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, there's been a lot of like women who have like reached out to me just like thanking me for like the way I've been treating her and like going to like pursue her. And it's kind of sad that today's society, I don't know, just like the guys to like pursue. I mean, I think girls can pursue guys too, but like in general, if a guy's like not treating you well, drop the loser and go, because there's good guys out there that will treat you the way you deserve to be treated.
Amen. Romance is not dead.
I don't even think it's about you pursuing, Natalie. It's about you being so careful and considerate. I mean, calling her family and letting them know that you're doing this is a big deal. You like thought of all the different ways that you can make her feel comfortable and safe, except for the Airbnb. you get one mistake. But that's really important. It's not about, in this day and age, there's no pursuing. Like, girl can pursue, a guy can pursue, but you have to be so considerate of each other and like really be thoughtful about that. So one last question is, what now? What's next for both of you?
Right now, I mean, we're obviously together, boyfriend, girlfriend, and we're just like, I mean, like everyone, we don't know really what the future holds with all this stuff going on. But for now, we're just going back and forth, spending time with each other and each other's family.
Yeah, still getting to know and like learning things about, I mean, it hasn't been utopia. I don't want to give everybody that impression. We've had like discussions, and we actually haven't had like, a big fight, but we've had like discussions and different things that
that's standard.
We just
though.
See differently. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I just didn't want everyone, because everyone's like, oh, it's like a fairy tale, and it's like it's been awesome, but it's not like,
yeah, it's real.
I'm like, what? I'm just kidding.
No. Well, especially yeah, now you're yeah, getting into the real stage, right? So
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, but yeah. So I'm excited of what's next, and we keep growing together, and I've been enjoying just like the process of everything, because people have been reaching out and just like so interested in our story. So I'm just like, I don't know, we've just been enjoying all the little things we've gotten to do, and yeah, it's been great.
Love it. Well, you two are definitely I don't know, this really nice gust of optimism that we really
love
needed
in the
during
time
this time.
Corona. Yeah.
And you know what, now is a better time than ever to find love. This is a great time to do it, because it's very intentional. You have to ask all the necessary questions before meeting up. Mm-hmm. So people shouldn't be scared by what is happening right now to try to find someone. We'll link to you, all your social sites in our show notes if people want to stalk you and deep like some of your photos and videos.
Great.
And where can they find you?
It's Josiah Miller on both TikTok and Instagram.
Mine is just Natalie Otano.
Yeah, and we're gonna try to start a YouTube, because people are like asking about like our journey. So we're gonna just try to document as much as we can and
stay
like,
tuned.
About
you totally should. I love your videos, and I think anyone that wants to see like this go down in action, you do a really great job of showing at the airport and everything that's happening. Yeah. So love it.
Thank you so much. Keep us updated on everything that's happening. Good luck with everything, and
Thank you.
Keep the positivity alive, because we need it. We really do need it.
No, I was going to say, we just had so many requests in our Facebook group about this. So I'm really glad that we were able to chat with you.
Yeah. So
people need it right now. They need a good story to show it's possible.
Yeah, you've been very inspirational for a lot of people who are just a little bit afraid to step outside the box and see what's out there. Here we go. We're going to wrap up.
Stay Dateable.
Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcast. Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.